जयं विश्वपाद परमहंस परिव्राज आचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जयं नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज आचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्रीमान भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की अनंतपुरी वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य शील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्यामकुंड राधाकुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनामाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की ओर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री गुरु श्री गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरियस टू शील प्रभुपाद नमामिश्वपदाय कृष्ण प्रसाद भूदले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिदां भगवदां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराण मुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धदामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तु ते व्यास विशाल बुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायत पत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारत तैलपूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमय प्रदीप प्रपन्न पारिजाताय तोत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दन पार्थो वत्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसच्चानूरमर्दनं देवगी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोल्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामा विकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोत्तीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरण नदी कैवर्तक केशवा पाराशर्यवजस्सरोजममलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटं नानाख्यानगकेसरं हरिकथा सम्बोधनाभोदितं लोकैः सज्जनषल्पदैरहरहप्येदीयमानं मुदा भूयात् भारत पंकज कलिमल प्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगं लंघयते गिरिं यल्कृपादमहं वंदे परमानंद माधवं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्र मरुदस्त्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवैर् वेदैः सांगपदैः क्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं समगाः ध्यानावस्थित तद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्दं न विदुःसुरासुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द So, Krishna mentioned Amanitvam, Adambitvam, Ahimsa, Kshandirarjamam, Acharyopasanam, Shaujam, Sthairyam, Atmavinigraha, Indriyartheshu Vairagyam, Anahangaram Evacha, Janma, Mrityu, Jaravyadi, Dukha, Doshanu, Darshanam. And then, in order these two verses to happen, Krishna is saying, it also requires certain restrictions. What are they? Asakti anabhishvanga putradhara grahadishu nityanja samachittattvam ishta anishtopapattishu. That's where we discussed yesterday that the this asakti and abhishvangam, asakti sanganimiteshu pradimatram talbhavam asakti. Sakti means attachment to sense gratification. Indriya vishayam, if you develop attachment there, that is sakti. Absence of that is asakti. Anabhishvanga, abhishvanga bhavam, abhishvanga nama shakti vishesham. Eva adhanyatma adhya anyar atma bhavana lakshana yatha anyasmin sukhini dukhini va aham eva sukhi dukhi ja jivadi mudeva aham eva jivami marishyami cha idi. Abhishvanga means that attachment to other people connected to you, or to think that they are all part of you. To falsely we think like that, it's a part of me. Wife, children, parents, we think they are all part of me. That is, that attachment he's talking about. And similarly, when they become happy or distressed, you also become happy or distressed. And when they live in this world, you feel that you are living because they are there. And when they die, you feel you have lost your life. This kind of emotional attachment, that's called asakti. Krishna is saying that this is a big problem, because if with this attachment, if you try to do all the other things, what was spoken in the two verses before, it won't have any impact. There's a lot of issues here related to our psychology and our mind and our attachment. And therefore he mentioned there, Maijan anya yogena vyaktir avyabhijarani vivikta desha sevitram aradir janasamsadi. In the next verse he says that. So in the ninth verse he said that the attachment is normally with, for a man it is wife, children, home and other close relations. And this a detachment from that, anasakti, freedom from that attachment, anabhishvangada, and wrong identification, freedom from that identification with them, they are helpful, Krishna says, for developing spiritual knowledge. For developing spiritual knowledge. Otherwise it won't happen. We won't understand this because we are normally thinking that with my mind and intelligence I understand something, and we think we got it. We haven't got it. When these forces are working within us, particularly what he is talking about, that asakti towards the wife, home, children and all that, and similarly anabhishvangada, which is required, that means the identification with the rest of the world, both those things is detrimental for spiritual knowledge. And therefore, samachittada won't come from that. If you have attachment somewhere, or if you are identifying with others, then samachittada is difficult. Equal vision is impossible then. Equal vision means, Krishna is saying this again and again, isn't it, in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Bhagavadam. Samachittada means to see that Krishna is present in everybody, not only in my wife and my children. Krishna is present in everybody. And able to think like that, that the recognizing Krishna's presence, samatvam yogamuchyade, that samam, samam pashyanhi sarvatra, how many places Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita, as well as in the Bhagavadam also. In Bhagavadam it is spoken as a sadhana itself. Brahmane, pulkase, sene, brahmane, arke, spulingage, akrure, krure, jeva, samadrit panditomada. He mentioned it like that in the Ekadasham. So there it is spoken as a sadhana itself, that samadrik. And samadrik sit, samam bashyanhi sarvatra. That samatvam won't come as long as we have asakti and this abhishvangam. What he is saying in these two verses. Asakti anabhishvanga putradhara grihadishu then what will happen is, if it happens, then nityamja samachittatvam. Samachittatvam will come from that. Ishta anishta upapattishu. When things are favorable or unfavorable, happiness or distress, you will still be equally disposed to both. So that is important. So we saw that yesterday, and then and that is what is called yogam. Yoga karmasu kaushalam. Ajani Swamiji mentions that. Kim yogaha. What is kaushalam? Kaushalam is a yogam. Yogam means that not executing the karmam very well, that is not yogam. Some people think like that. If you execute your karmam very well, that is, means you are in the yoga state. No. Karmam, you execute it. Whatever it comes, happens, it happens. Good results, bad results, it's not important. But its result may be anything, and its effect may be anything. But if you are able to maintain that samachittatvam, equally disposed nature, then that yogasthiti, state of yoga, that is called karmasu kaushalam. That is the kaushalam in the karma. Not doing a karma very well and getting good results, good or whatever results come, good or bad, whether the karma was perfect or not, immaterial of that, not getting affected by the results of the karma, that is kaushalam. So that is a difficult word. Sometimes people often misunderstand that. Yoga karmasu kaushalam. Yoga karmasu kaushalam. Kaushalam means your skill is not getting affected by the results of the karma. That is kaushalam. Yoga karmasu kaushalam. You will see that explained very well in the Viveka Chudamani also, when we talk about Jivan Mukta Lakshanam. Sadhubhi Pujyamanesmi Pirayan Anevi Durjanai Samabhavo Bhavedasya Sa Jivan Muktasya Lakshanam. In the Viveka Chudamani you will find this verse, right? So, sadhus, sadhus, whether the sadhus nature, that's what Krishna is saying. Whether others worship them or others give them trouble, inside their yoga sthiti, yoga state is not affected. That is yoga state. Whether you are praised or insulted, able to stay. Ishta nishtoba pattishu, Krishna is saying. Samachittatvam. So, if only this samachittatvam and ishtanishtopapattisho, ishtam anishtam, favorable, unfavorable, things come in life, and samachittatvam comes, these things, if one has cultivated, practiced that, and even only when they come in a person, you can say that person is in spiritual life. Otherwise, he is not in spiritual life. Ishtanishtopapattishu and samachittatvam. Only when these things have comes in a person and he has developed them, then only you can say that person is in spiritual life. Yeah, we can give a lot of examples for that. One person asked this question, that he has been studying Bhagavad Gita, memorizing all the verses in the Gita, and he tried to learn Bhagavad Gita as much as possible, memorizing everything, right? And then one day he felt in his mind, I'm not making any progress. And he felt that he should ask somebody about it. So he went to Ramana Maharshi and asked this question. that I've been reading Bhagavad Gita for so long, I memorized all the verses, I read everything, and still nothing is happening to me, he said to him. So Maharshi told him, it's no point in memorizing verses, he said. You have to listen to what Bhagavad Gita is telling you to do, that you are not doing. We are going and doing things what Bhagavad Gita is not asking us to do. We go and do that. And then we memorize the verses and think that nothing is happening to us, right? So this devotee says to Ramana Maharshi that Bhagavad Gita has not told me anything. He said, so Maharshi asked him, when you take the book in your hand and you are looking at Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita is telling you, you look at yourself, right? When Bhagavad Gita is telling you, look at you, that means realize the self, think about the self, and understand the self, right? Why are you looking at me? Bhagavad Gita is asking. Bhagavad Gita is saying to us, whole Bhagavad Gita is centered around the soul, to understand what. So, Bhagavad Gita is telling us to look at ourselves, inward looking, to look at the Antaryami. And what do? We run Bhagavad Gita courses, Bhagavad Gita seminars, and competitions, and memorizing the verses and things like that. They are secondary things. Important thing is to realize the self, Antaryami, inside, right? So, those things are peripheral things, courses, seminars, and all other things. Self-realization is Bhagavad Gita. Not only that, Bhagavad Gita is asking us to look at ourselves, Antaryami inside. And when you look at it, you will find a lot of problems inside us, ourselves. We will see the problems, right? And then you realize later, when you deeply absorb in Gita, you will realize that there is a situation where there is no problem. That means, when you look inwards, first you are making contact with the subtle body. At that time you see all the problems of the subtle body. Mind has got problem, intelligence has got problem, chittam has got vasanas inside, ahangaram is there. That's where you see all the things first. But then when you go further, one more layer down, deeper inside, you will start realizing that Antaryami inside has no problem. Problems are all in the subtle body. The first layer, when you look inwards, is the subtle body. There you have got all the problems. But once you go further, deeper inside, when you start seeing the Antaryami inside, you realize that there is no problem there. Yeah? So that is where the samachittatvam ishtanishtopapattishu, these things is the patyam. Again, patyam means these restrictions. They are all part of the restrictions, right? Asakti anavishanga putradhara grihadishu nityanja samachittatvam ishtanishtopapattishu. They are all the restrictions. If those restrictions are seriously followed, then the sadhana spoken in the 7th and the 8th verse will develop. Otherwise it won't develop. So they are connected each other like this. So having said that, he says here that...
Sorry about that. I'll sort it out properly.
So, Krishna is saying that this samachittatvam is knowledge. Samachittatvam is knowledge, right? So then, after saying that, what is the medicine then? That's the next verse. Verses 7, 8 is the sadhana. Verse 9 is the rules while taking the medicine, to follow them. And the verse 10 is the medicine. Medicine, it says, right? Maijan anya yogena vikti avyavicharini vivikta desha sevitvam aradir jana samsadi. Maicha ishware ananya yogena apritak samadhinana anyo bhagavato vasudeva para asti sa evo na gadi. Iti evam nishira avyavicharini buddhi ananya yogaha tena bhajanam bhakti na vyabhijarana shila avyabhijarini sa cha jnanam. Only Krishna is a reality, accepting that first, right? And if our buddhi is fixed in that, that Krishna is the only reality, and buddhi doesn't go in any other direction, and totally taken Krishna shelter, Krishna says that is knowledge. Maijan ananya yogena bhakti avyabhicharini is what Krishna says, knowledge. Maijan ananya yogena bhakti avyabhicharini, right? Anyavyabhicharini means that to realize that except Krishna there is no other shelter. Yeah? And you will see that in the Bhagavadam spoken in a different way. When Shiva Brahmarshi began Bhagavadam, he mentions there in the first canto itself. Second chapter. Vasudeva para Veda, Vasudeva para Makha, Vasudeva para Yoga, Vasudeva para Kriya, Vasudeva param Jnanam, Vasudeva param Tapa, Vasudeva paro Dharma, Vasudeva param Gadi. Exactly what that is saying here. Vasudeva para Veda, Vasudeva para Kriya, Vasudeva param Jnanam, Vasudeva param Tapa, Vasudeva paro param Jnanam, Vasudeva param tapa, Vasudeva paro dharmam, Vasudeva parajadi. So that is what this Maija ananya yogena bhakti avyabhicharini. People ask this question, don't we have to live in this world then, if we do all these things? Krishna is saying, life is prarabdham. Leave that to prarabdham. You don't have to worry about it. In the sense that prarabdham is vyavaharam. Bhakti is not vyavaharam. Bhakti is not vyavaharam. Vyavaharam and bhakti, there is no connection between the two. Vyavaharam is prarabdham. Bhakti is ashrayam, taking shelter. Right? So, taking shelter is ashrayam. Krishna will keep saying this again and again, that worldly life, material life in this world, that's your prarabdham. There is nothing we can do about it. You don't have to invest all your energy in solving the prarabdham. It won't work because prarabdham will come what we are. Prarabdham came first before the body. Body was created after the prarabdham was created. So prarabdham will dictate how the body will feel happiness or distress, suffering, whatever it is going to experience in this world, that's already decided by the prarabdham. That is the point. Krishna is saying this, Prahlada is saying the same thing. So do not spend all your invest energy in solving the prarabdham. Having said that, he's saying, whereas the bhakti is ashrayam. Bhakti is ashrayam. So Krishna's point here is that material life or external world, leave that to prarabdham. Leave that to prarabdham. Spiritual life or self-realization, that's where all the energy should be. in this material body. Internally tapas, inside tapas, outwardly tidiksha. Tolerate the world, and internally cultivate tapas. Tapas means knowledge, self-realization. This is what Bhagavad Gita is telling us. Outside world, tolerate it as much as you can. Sometimes it may break down, but still one should tolerate the world outside. As much as possible, tolerate the outside world and the prarabdham. And inside world, you have complete freedom. Performing penances, austerities and tapas, and cultivation of spiritual knowledge, self-realization. There, nobody can do anything about it. You have the total freedom to do what you want about it. So this is the situation. So therefore, tapasa inside, titiksha outside. Titiksha in the world, tolerating everything, whatever prarabdham throws at you, tolerate it and accept it. But internally, that means outside titiksha, internally tapasa. Internally tapasa. Tapasa means what? What does tapasa mean? Tapasa means our mind has a habit of dragging us to the world outside and involving in anything and everything and finding some pleasure through the senses. That's the nature of the mind and the senses. Now, Buddhi is telling us, after studying Bhagavad Gita, Buddhi is telling us this is not the right thing. So there is a conflict between Buddhi and Manasa. If you train the Buddhi strongly, very well, one day the mind will agree with the Buddhi. And that is what is called a tapasa. Making the mind to agree with the Buddhi, that is called a tapasa. Till mind agrees with the Buddhi, tapasa has to go on. Tapasa means austerities, penances, and all kinds of now chanting the holy name or deity worship. Everything is a tapasa. Studying Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, this is all tapasa. Tapasa is for what? Tapasya is for Buddhi. You are helping the Buddhi to become stronger against the mind. Mind is dragging us into the world. Enjoy life. What's the point in wasting time doing all these things? Identifying with the body and getting absorbed in the world. This is the nature of the mind. So there is a conflict between the mind and the intelligence. Mind won't listen to intelligence easily. Even though intelligence tells the mind, this is not what Bhagavad Gita is saying, and or what Krishna has spoken there, those things, but mind won't listen. Mind will drag you in another direction. So making the mind to fall in line with the Buddhi, in order that to happen, tapas is required. So that's what he's saying here. So, what comes in life, Yadarchaya means Krishna's Icha. Whatever comes through prarabdham, accordingly you do the vyavaharam, whatever you have to do. But nitya vastu, andaryami inside, you should take shelter. Nitya vastu, you take shelter. Anitya vastu, temporary things, you should do vyavaharam with that. Vyavaharam must be with anitya vastu, temporary things. With the permanent thing, andaryami inside, taking shelter. This is all what Krishna is saying. Maijan ananya yogena bhakti avyabhijarini vivikta desha sevitvam aradir janasam sadhi. Normally what people do is nitya vastu they do vyavaharam. With Krishna you do vyavaharam. Anitya vastu we are taking shelter. Like anitya vastu means bank balance, family, home and the material body. These are all anitya vastu. Anitya vastu, you are taking shelter now. We are taking shelter now. And nitya vastu, who is Krishna, with him, we are doing business. We go to Krishna and say to him that if you can help me with this, if you can help me with that, means that you are a businessman doing business with Krishna. So nitya vastu is not for business. Nitya vastu is for shelter. Exactly opposite way. Nitya vastu is for shelter. Anitya vastu is for vyavaharam. Instead, most of the people, what they do is, anitya vastu, they take shelter, And Nitya Vastu, they do Vyavaharam. This is the world, world outside world, right? So, Krishna is expecting, that is what Bhagavad Gita is saying to us also, that the He doesn't need anything from us, doesn't need wealth or any other things, right? What Krishna is expecting us from us is ashrayam, like Bhagavatam says, right? What does ashrayam mean? Ashrayam means, first of all, to take ashram, to take shelter or ashrayam, we have to know that Krishna is the only reality, the truth, satyavastu, right? So, like normally between materialistic minded people and spiritually busy people, or in spiritual, proper spiritual life, there is a 180 degrees difference between them, right? So, materialistic people, they will ask the devotee that, for doing something, why don't you join us? We'll all do it together. So the devotee told him, Arthagama parayuyam, Narayana paravayam, tasmal sarveshu kaleshu, yuyam yuyam vayam vayam. That was the answer from the devotee. Right? For you, important thing is money, material happiness, and sense gratification. For me, Krishna is more important. Yeah. Therefore, you have to stay where you are, and I have to do what I am doing. Right? That was his answer. Arthagama parayuyam, Narayana paravayam, tasmal sarveshu kaleshu, yuyam yuyam, vayam vayam. You will be what you are, and I will be what I am. And that's not going to change. This is the position of a devotee. Right? So, you saw that two verses in the Bhagavatam. Vasudeva Paraveda, that's what he is saying there. Vasudeva Paraveda, Vasudeva Paramaka, Vasudeva Para Yoga, Vasudeva Parakriya, Vasudeva Param Yanam, Vasudeva Param Tapa, Vasudeva Paro Dharma, Vasudeva Param Gadi. Everything is Vasudeva Para, right? So, in this world, we think we are helpless, isn't it? Anatha. There is nobody to help us. And those who are taking shelter of this word anatha, anatha means basically you are helpless, anatha. There is nobody. But there is another meaning to that. One who is taking shelter of Krishna is anatha. Why? Because one who has a natha, that means, if you look at the letter A, Aksharana Makarosmi, the A, one who is natha for everyone. Actually, there is nobody anatha here. Nobody is anatha here, right? When Krishna is present as natha, when he is looking after all the welfare, yoga kshemam of everybody, right? We have to think like this, that when we came to this world, we didn't make any previous arrangements. Only later on when we grow up, we start thinking, I have to make provision for my retirement, I need a home, I need a wife, I need children. And all other ideas comes into your head and think that if I don't do it, who will look after me at the old age? Things like that, right? Krishna's point is that yogam kshemam, it is my responsibility, right? Who looked after you in the womb of the mother? We had no freedom there. We just came into the womb of the mother. Who protected us? Did the mother protect us? And on the other hand, it is the baby who has protected the mother, if you really understand it. We think that the mother has protected the baby. The baby has protected the mother, right? Not that mother has protected the baby. This is all misunderstanding, right? In the womb, Who fed the baby with the food, right? After all, we were all there one day in that womb, every one of us, right? How did all living entities come to this world? If all of us will survive in this world, only if we will look after ourselves, if that's the only way we will survive in this world, you look at all the animals, look at them and see how they are living in this world. So here you don't find so much, here it's a little different. But in India you will find a lot of street dogs wandering around here, there, everywhere. Right? Nobody made any arrangements for them. They are living in this world. And their parampara is not finished. It is still going on. That parampara is still going on. Right? So who is looking after them? Who is maintaining them? Right? Similarly, you look at all the birds and other animals, even elephants, all of them, they are living in this world. They didn't come and they didn't make arrangements for their survival here. It happened to them. Krishna is providing them all food, right? So, Krishna is maintaining them. They are all getting their food, right? When we say, I can look after myself, when we say that, Krishna withdraws. Krishna says, all right, you manage yourself then. Right? So, you know, when the tsunami came, what the scientists did was, they brought special instruments to see what's happening in the nature, how tsunami is changing the nature. Right? But the tsunami was so powerful, those scientists and the machines all went in the tsunami. They were trying to study the tsunami and to make reports about that. But when tsunami came, it was so powerful in that process, all the scientists and their equipments who were doing all these things, they all were taken away. But prior to that, what happened? Before tsunami came, all the birds and animals, they knew it is coming. This is how nature works. So they all flew away from there. The birds and the animals ran away from there, from the forest, they escaped. Birds flew away from there. Similarly, cats, dogs, all of them were aware of the changes that's likely to happen in the nature. And they ran away and escaped. Why? Because Krishna has told them. They are taking his shelter, Krishna's shelter, because they don't do anything else. They are totally dependent on Krishna's shelter. So Krishna has given them advance information, it is coming, you have to leave. And they left. And they survived. Whereas the human species, who are doing research and experiment with their instruments there, they are all gone in the tsunami. So Krishna says, let them drink some salt water and live in this. So this is ashraya means. When Krishna is saying that verse, because we have gone away from this to such an extent, from this verse, maijan anya yoghena bhakti avyabhijarini. That is bhakti. Bhakti means accepting that Krishna is the shelter. That is bhakti. In Narada Bhakti Sutram, you will find a sutram which says, anyashrayanam tyagaha ananyaha. Narada Maharshi says there. Anyashrayanam tyagaha ananyaha. Ananya bhakti means dependence on others, giving it up. Totally dependent on Krishna's mercy. Anyashrayanam tyagaha ananyaha. So this word ananya bhakti, you will find in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam mentioned many places. Ananya bhakti means total dependence on Krishna. That is ananya bhakti. So that is what he is saying here. Maija ananya yogena bhakti avyabhicharini vikta desha sevatvam aradirjana samsadi. Remember I mentioned about this Ronald Nixon, the fighter pilot, who during the Second World War, right? He was an atheist before. And he was also a Yuktivadi, you know, who believes in logic, everything, right? So in the Second World War, and his experience, when he talks about it later, he says this, that them days the technology was not so developed like now. So he was flying this fighter aircraft, and he lost the signal. And then a group of aeroplanes were coming along in the same air, very close to him. And he did not know what to do, whether to go with them or whose aircraft they were. And his impression gave him like this. He thought that he should follow them, go with them, and he will land in the right place, right? In between, some direction from inside, from Antaryami, not to go with them, came to him, right? And some direction from the heart, and he decided to turn away from them. And then he got his signal back, and he went and landed in a safer place. So later on he heard that all the other airplanes which were flying in the same time were his enemy aircraft. Were enemy aircraft, right? So suppose he had gone with them, he would have vanished from the world, right? So Yuktivadi or Nastika or atheist, all these things, he realized that it's all childishness. It doesn't mean anything. And beyond our mind and intelligence and the senses, something that will never go wrong, and that knowledge is inside with the Antaryami, which is not affected by the mind or the intelligence or the senses, right? And so that Antaryami, what he does is always perfect. Things cannot go wrong there. Buddhi may make wrong decision. Mind may turn you in the wrong way. Mind might confuse you completely. Senses could cause problems. Antaryami is perfect. Nothing can go wrong, right? So therefore, why not take shelter of Antaryami? That's the question there, right? Why take shelter of Buddhi and mind? He realized that, this Ronald Nixon, and then he says, because I didn't listen to my Buddhi or to my mind, instead this intuition that came from Antaryami, therefore I survived, he says like that. And then he decided to give up his job, and then he came to Hrishikesh and spent the rest of the life in Hrishikesh and Himalayas. He spent rest of the time, right? And after he had come, he had taken it very seriously. Very serious about the yoga process. And so he started studying Bhagavad Gita seriously and accepted. See, acceptance is more important. Krishna is saying, Pidahamasya jagato, mata dhata pidamaha, vedyam pavitram ongaram raksame yajurevaja, gedur bharta prabhu sakshi, nivasa sharanam sukhat, prabhava pralayasthanam nidhanam vijam avyayam. All these verses, what is it saying? Krishna shelter. So able to take shelter of Krishna, like example was this person. And if you do like that, without taking shelter of anything else, only Krishna shelter, completely dependent on him, that bhakti is called as avyabhijarini. Avyabhijarini, right? You can do vyavaharam with the world, right? But no ashrayam in the world. Not taking shelter in the world, right? Ashrayam only Krishna. So, everything else in this world for vyavaharam. You can live like an emperor or you can live like a poor person. You can use anything in this world. But ashrayam or shelter is only Krishna. That's what he is saying here. Acharya Swamiji's bhashyam on that. Vivikteshu hi desheshu chittam prasidati yataha tada atmadi bhavana vivikte upajayate ato vivikta desha sevitam jnana muchyate. This vivik, you see, Krishna says there, vivikta desha sevitam. Maija ananya yogena bhakti avyabhicharini vivikta desha sevitam. He is saying that. What is this vivikta desha sevitam? Vivikta desha sevitam means vivikta svabhavada samskarena va ashuchyadibhi sarpavyakradibhi charehidaha aranya nadi pulina devagruhadibhi vivikto deshatam sevitam shilam asya iti vivikta desha sevitasya bhava vivikta desha sevitvam. Solitary places, solitude, away from all other interferences like river banks and places where the clean places where you don't have much disturbances from the animals, birds and things like that, and able to execute sadhana in such places. One person who is looking for that, that is vivikta desha sevitam. So, and Krishna is saying that that vivikta desha sevitvam is, if one develops that attraction for that, for vivikta desha sevitvam, viviktesu hi deshesu chittam prasidati yataha tatha atmadi bhavana vivikte upajayate ato vivikta desha sevitvam, it is called jnanam. He says, is knowledge. When one has this attraction for vivikta desha sevitvam, it is knowledge. That's what his bhashyam, commentary on that. In other words, able to take Krishna shelter to such an extent that he has devoted himself to somehow please Krishna and do the sadhana to such a level. And he, in order to do his sadhana without being disturbed from others, he looks for places where there is no disturbances, and taking shelter of those places is called vivikta desha sevitam. Right? So, any yoga processes, the first step is, what is that? Any yoga process, jnana yogam, bhakti yogam, karma yogam, whatever it may be, one who has come to spiritual life, the first requirement is a desire for solitude. Desire for loneliness, solitude. Why? If you can develop a taste for that, for solitude, and away from the society, indifference from the world, right? Many people find it very difficult, isn't it? Being alone, very difficult for many people. Everybody needs some company, they say like that. If without company, it's difficult, right? And somebody to talk to when you want to talk to someone. You need somebody there, right? Why is that? Because you're frightened of your own mind. Your own mind, right? He is worried that if I stay alone, will he create trouble for me from inside? He's frightened about his own mind. The mind will create some problems, right? So therefore, fear comes. And that is how all these things came. Which one? Radio, television. All these things are replacement for this. Because feeling lonely and feeling fearful from that. Being alone, feeling fearful. Right? So, and if it comes like that, to that stage, right? You can take it that you have some serious problem inside, disturbance inside, that you require someone else to be with you to keep you peaceful. You have to take shelter of either some person or take shelter of radio or television or something else. Without that, you cannot stay. If you become like that, that means there is some disturbance inside. Yeah. So, If it is not like that, Krishna is saying that, that's why this Vivikta Desha Sevitva Maradir Jana Samsari are important words. In the sense that the Ekanda Sthiti, able to live alone without being natural, needing any support from others, or and if that has happened, that another Jana Samsari, that don't want any association with anybody, if we had come to that, right, then solitude, you will enjoy it then. You will enjoy the solitude, right? So, in the Avaroksha Nibhuti, Ajari Swamiji gives a definition for this. Vivikta Desha Sevitam Aradhar Jana Samsari. His definition is like this. Ado Madhyeja Andeja Janesmin Na Vidyade. Means, previously there were no one. And in the middle also there is nobody. And in the end also there is nobody with you. That is Vivikta Desha Sevitam. Vivikta Desha Sevitam means you feel totally independent, not being dependent on anything. You don't need the association of somebody else. You are able to stay alone on your own. Without being supported by this necessity, being dependent on somebody else to stay in this world, right? So, that kind of situation, he's saying, Aradhar Jana Samsari. So, Ekameva Adhidiyam Brahmam Neha Nanasti Kinchana. So, sadhana, in order to do sadhana, it is necessary that you need some solitude. Some solitude is necessary, right? And whether it is studying Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam or meditation or japam, whatever it may be, at that time, aradhir jana samsadhi aradhi, he says. Jana samsadhi aradhi means it will find it difficult to sit with so many other people and do the sadhana. Because if few people come together, what will happen? Obviously there will be some conversation will begin with that, right? They'll keep asking something. They think they are doing you a favor. You want to be left alone. But they won't let you go. Everybody is not following Bhagavad Gita rigidly, right? So they'll come and ask you something, and then you, if you don't answer it, that will also require unsocial, it will look improper, right? And then if you show some friendliness, they will extend the conversation. It will develop, oh, my daughter is getting married, I will send you the invitation, you should come for the marriage. And then the conversation can go further and further in that way. So, if you observe realized souls, how they communicate each other, you will learn these things. They don't talk to each other much. From that you can see their state of mind. Materialistic people, when they meet each other, they have everything to talk about in this world, is it not? Remember what Shukha Brahmashi began Bhagavatam with? Yeah, in the second kind of first verses, yeah? You know what he said. So, in the same way, he said, they have got a lot of things to talk about, he says. Who? Shukha Brahmashi is saying that. You look at the... Shrodavyadini Rajendram Nanan Sandhi Sahasrasha. They have got thousands of things to discuss. He says, Nanam Sandhi Sahasrasha. Because they are living at home. So, when you live at home, you have all kind of things happening, right? Therefore, apashyadam atmatattvam. Atmatattvam, they cannot talk about. They don't have any interest. Griheshu grihamedhinam. Then he said, what will they talk about? Nidraya hrede naktam. Did you sleep well last night? This is people are asking question. Did you have a good sleep? Good. Then, vivayena cha vavaya, all kinds of vyavaharam they will drag you into. Then, diva charthe haya rajan. During the daytime, they are busy on all kinds of things in this world. More than anything, kudumbha bharanenava. Kudumbha bharanam. The great responsibility of kudumbha bharanam. That keeps them going. So, this is what he is saying. Dehavatya kalatradishu atmasainyeshu asalsavi tesham pramatta nidhanam pashyannabhi na pashyati. So, Sisho Brahmashi is saying what Krishna is saying here. Tasmat bharata sarvarpa Bhagavan Hari Ishwara shodavya kirtidavyascha smartavyascha chadabhayam. And so, here Krishna is saying that Mahatmas, if you look, Shukha Brahmarshi here, and similarly, one instance, Narayana Guru went to see Ramana Maharshi. Their meeting is very interesting, how meeting happened. Maharshi was there, Narayana Guru went to see him. When Maharshi didn't ask anything to him, where you came from, where you going, nothing, no inquiry at all. Narayana Guru stayed there for a few hours, and materialists, they find what they say, the spiritually advanced people say, materialists, when they breathe, even in the breathing, it is materialism there. Even in the breathing, right? So, therefore, they can be very if a bad effect on our sadhana, right? So that's why this verse Krishna is saying that. Aradir jana samsadi. One who is doing sadhana, adhyatma sadhana, one who is executing bhakti or yoga sadhana, if you go into the middle of people, a lot of people, right, who are absorbed in mundane life, if you stay with them for some time, you feel very tired being with them. You get tired. Right? And therefore, because in them, those people, all their vasanas will come out from them. And those vasanas will be in the atmosphere. And it will affect you. Their vasanas will affect you. So therefore, spiritually serious people, they will run away from them. They won't want to waste their time with them, right? And if you are alone and on your own, then you can read Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, and think about Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna is saying. Bhagavadam is saying, right? So, ekanda sukhamasyadam paranaram paranare. In order to fix, absorb your mind in Krishna, andaryami, this ekandam state, being alone, is very helpful. So, mind, senses, ahankaram, ego, all of them, if they go into a peaceful mode in that state, when you are interacting with the world outside, they all get affected. So, yeah. So that's what he's saying here. Tasya is saying, arati, aramanam, jana samsadi, jananam, prakrutanam, samskara shunyanam, avinidanam, samsad samavayo, jana samsad, na samskaravatam, vinidanam samsad, tasya, jnanobakaragatvad, atha, prakruta jana samsadi, arati, jnanartatvad, jnanam. Bhashyam says like that, right? People who are very, very unrefined, prakritam, and who have no samskaram, spiritual culture, and if you have to stay with them and withdrawing from them and able to associate with people who have humility as well as spiritual culture with them, and knowing that is knowledge. That's what he's saying here. So, how to understand this word, what Krishna is saying here? Vivikta desha sevitvam aradir jana samsari, he said. If you are independent to do things on your own without being disturbed by others and able to travel freely like that without affected by others and feel longing for remaining aloof from the society. But if you have to associate with others in satsangam, that's not considered to be wrong. If there is no satsangam, then ekandam, being alone. That's the way it should be. If there is no satsangam, then alone, ekandam. Suppose in the satsangam, if you have discussing about self-realization, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, or anything related to Brahma Vidya, and as Bhagavadam says like that, paraspara anukandanam pavanam bhagavad yashas. In the Agadasham, Krishna will, in the Navayogi says that. Talking about Krishna, matters related to spiritual life, self-realization, if those discussions happen among people, then it is worthwhile in the satsangam, right? And better than being alone is to be like that. An opportunity to discuss Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, and the messages Krishna has spoken, rishis have spoken, and discussion of that is better than even being alone. But better than dussangam, bad association with the materialistic people, is loneliness. So you can see in three levels. Satsangam, the best. Ekandam, being lonely, is in the middle. Dussangam, bad association with the materialistic people, the worst. So, that's what Krishna is saying, that satsangam may not be possible all the time. So, at least stay in the second tier, ekandam. Don't go into the third level, dussangam. So, there's a verse about that. In Himalayas, the yogis go there, they close their eyes, and they go sit in meditation, right? And while in the meditation, they are alone. From their eyes, tears are coming out. And sometimes the birds come, little birds. They come and sit on their lap. And sometimes they drink these tears that comes from their from their eyes. Dhanyanam girigandareshu vasanam jyotir param. So, they find that ekandam state much better because at least they are not getting polluted from the world outside, right? So, whereas the materialistic nature is such that how much wealth have you created in this world? How much money have you made in this world? How many buildings and houses have you purchased? Or whether you got a swimming pool at home or not, and whether you got employed people to do the housework, and things like that, right? So in this process, the life is running out. Time is running out, right? But find it difficult to take Krishna shelter because you have invested so much energy in this world and invested acquired a lot of wealth in this world, and that has all become a burden on you now. at the old age, they all become a burden. Right? Beautiful wife, children who have grown up and they are busy with their life, bank deposit. So, all these things binds a person in this world. So, it is difficult to give up all that straight away. So, Krishna is saying here that if you are able to give up the sangam with that attachment to all those things, even if you are a householder, able to execute bhakti or japam, whatever it is, wherever you are, whatever situation you are in, right? Na bandhaya grihamataha. Yes, Krishna says in the Bhagavatam that, right? Even if you are in the grihastha ashramam, if you spend the time studying Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, or chanting the holy name, or always discuss matters related to spiritual life, if you spend the time like that, and spend your remembrance of the importance, even though you are stuck in the family life. And na bandhaya grihamataha. For him, a person who is living a life like that, for him, Krishna is saying, that the house does not become a cause of his bondage, if he spends time like that. Right? Not only that, he says that if he does like that throughout his life, then at some point in time, me, Krishna says, present in him as Antaryami, will reveal to him within himself, right? So, what we have to understand is this, that for self-realization, brahmachari, grahastham, vanaprastham, sannyasam, they are not important. They are not the one which decide whether you are a sannyasi or not. It is this absorption in Krishna. Right? Whether you are a brahmachari or a grahastha or vanaprastham, whatever it may be, sannyasi, one in whose heart always Krishna is present, and through that bhakti develops. And that is what he is saying here. Avyabhicharini bhakti. Vivikta desha sevitvam aradir janasam sadhi. So that is what. Then finally, Krishna is saying, what is bhakti sadhana? So you saw, 7th and 8th verse is the jnana sadhana he spoke. 9th verse, Krishna spoke about the restrictions required to follow while cultivating the jnana sadhana. In the 10th verse, he is mentioned about the importance of ananya bhakti, dependence on Krishna, ashrayam, shelter, and the importance of being alone. And in the last verse, he is saying, what is bhakti means, right? Adhyalpa jnana nityatvam, tattva jnanartha darshanam, edal jnanam idi proktam, ajnanam tadananyatha. Very clear definitions, very precise and very clear. Question of understanding that's the only thing. Adhyalpa jnana nityatvam, tattva jnanartha darshanam, edal jnanam idi proktam, ajnanam tadananyatha. In one stroke, Krishna has told that all what we think as knowledge is all ignorance. What we think as knowledge in this world is completely ignorance. Krishna is saying that. Edal jnanam idi proktam, ajnanam tadananyatha. Ajnanam it is, right? How to understand that? So, with this verse, this whole topic is completed. One topic is completed there, right? So, jnana sadhana, he is saying here, he's talking about the, in order to get jnanam, what sadhana is required to get jnanam, right? Suppose you are in solitude, alone, at home. In the Bhagavatam, you will see this spoken. In the, if you look at the Padma Puranam, Bhagavatam Mahatmyam is spoken there. In the Srimad Bhagavatam Mahatmyam, in there, fourth chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam Mahatmyam Puranam, Purana Mahatmyam, in the fourth chapter, verse 80. Dharma bhajasu satatam teja loka dharman sevasu sadhu purushan jahi kama trishnam anyasya dosha guna chindana mashu muktva seva katha rasamaho nitaram pibatvam. Yeah. Dharma bhajasu satatam teja loka dharmam. Gokarna is giving this advice to his father, taking shelter of Bhagavata Dharmam. What is that? Somehow take Krishna's service seriously, right? You can worship Krishna as Sandaryami, whichever way you like it, right? Through your words, through your actions, through your mind, using any of them. Body, mind, or the words. And he says there, with the self itself, in the sense that with your body, when you are worshipping him, that is Kriya, what he is saying here. Worshipping with the body, that's Kriya. Then, or chanting the holy name and doing some seva, whatever one is doing, all those things, right? And that is all bhajana through Kriya. Suppose you are working very hard in life, right? And your body got used to it, working, all the time working. Some people develop that nature. They have to keep doing something. If they are not doing something, they find it difficult, right? So if it happens like that, suddenly if you tell them you should stay alone, that will be difficult for them, right? If you go alone, body will ask, what should I do now? The body will ask, right? So, in that way, some seva you do in the temples or ashram or somewhere like that, right? And train the mind, train the body to do something like that. Otherwise, the body will go and do something else. It will look for some other engagement because they got habituated to that. Body has to do something. It's all habits that cultivated like that, right? Then with the words, chanting the holy name, reciting the stotrams, and things like that, right? With the mind able to absorb in the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam and think about it and understanding what Krishna is saying there. What Krishna is saying there. We don't listen to Krishna, that's where the problem comes. That Krishna is saying that you don't have to worry about this world. World will go its own way. That is not in your... I have not sent you to change the world. Right? I have given you Bhagavad Gita to study. And you should study Bhagavad Gita. Not worry about others in the world. First study Bhagavad Gita. But instead what do? We don't study Bhagavad Gita. We think that we have to correct the world. Change the world, right? So, here, able to absorb in that with the mind and absorbs in Krishna's valuable teachings and devotees' messages, their lifestyle, their way of life, If all that is done, then he says, worshipping the self with the self. That means being situated in the platform of the self, not moving away from there. Bodham, that means awareness, right? Bodham, in Bhagavatam, what they put it like this, Atmani, 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 Atmanam. You will see in the Ekadasham. Atmani, Atmani, Atmanam. What does that mean? Atmani, Atmani, Atmanam. Three times Atma comes there. Atmani, Atmani, Atmanam means that through the knowledge what Krishna has spoken, able to withdraw, reject everything, body, mind, senses, the world, everything, and to be situated in the platform of the self, Antaryami inside. And that state is Adhyalpa Jnana. What Krishna says here? Adhyalpa Jnana Nityatvam, he is saying. See that verse? 11th verse. What is Adhyalpa Jnana Nityatvam means? Atmani, Atmani, Atmanam. That is Adhyalpa Jnana Nityatvam. It's a difficult thing because it requires very inward-looking nature. You got to study Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam as deeper as possible so that this Adhyalpa Jnana Nityatvam comes. Adhyalpa Jnana Nityatvam means fully fixed up in self-realization, everything fully aware that Antaryami is inside and that's my spiritual identity. Body, mind, senses, the world outside has nothing to do with me. That is not in me. I am not in them. I am actually that Antaryami inside who is present in everyone as the very self. Able to be situated in that state, that is Adhyalpa Jnana Nityatvam. Adhyalpa Jnana Nityatvam. Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam. Edal Jnanam Idi Proktam. Ajnanam Tadananyatha. Krishna is saying there that this situation, Atmani, Atmani, Atmanam, the other things like chanting the holy name, seva, different seva, what you do, is all favorable for this, for Adhyalpa Jnana Nityatvam. And therefore it is called a charya. Charya means the subservient for the getting to the goal. For Adhyalpa Jnana Nityatvam means to be fitly situated, established in the platform of the soul. Platform of the soul, right? So, charya. Charya means what you do with your body, it's called a charya. Then, chanting the holy name, and through absorption of the mind, all that upasana, how gradually you become more matured spiritually and ready for self-realization, in other words, right? And then when you get to that stage, that by practicing it on a regular basis, right, nishta comes. Nishta means steadiness comes, right? Nishta, it means that, not like that I've done it for 1 or 2 days and then I thought I got something else to do in my life, so I leave everything, go for that. When I feel like doing that, that's not nishta. Nishta means no matter what it is, for that this has to become the goal first. Steadiness, right? Able to execute the sadhana every single day and particular time if possible. And then the effect will be there for that. So, Adhyalpa Jnana Nityatvam comes like that, through that steadiness in life. Look at the Bhashyam on that. Adhyalpa Jnana Nityatvam Almadi Vishayam Jnanam Adhyalpa Jnanam Tasmin Nitya Bhavo Nityatvam. In other words, this Atma or the soul, the knowledge of that, right, is Adhyalpa Jnanam. And if you are always absorbed in that or you are established in that Adhyalpa Jnanam, that is Adhyalpa Jnana Nityatvam. Nityatvam means every day. All the time. Adhyalpa Jnana Nityatvam. So, Then, what is Tattvajnanartha Darshanam? Tattvajnanartha Darshanam means, Tattvajnanartha Darshanam means, he says, Amanitvam Adambitvam, that verses, 13.7. From then onwards, all the jnana sadhana what was spoken in 7 and 8, Adhyalpatnya Amanitvam Adambitvam Ahimsa Shandir Arjavam Ajarya Obasanam Shavajam Sthairyam Alpaminigraha Indriyarteshu Vairagyam Anahangaram Evacha Janmam Pratyu Jara Vyadhi Dukkha Doshana Darshanam. All that jnana sadhana nam bhavana paripaka nimittam tattva jnanam tasya artho mokshaha samsara uparamam tasya alochanam tattva jnanartha darshanam tattva jnana bhayalochenahi tal sadhana anushtane pravritti syal iti. This jnana sadhana, what was spoken verse 7 and 8, if you have cultivated that, and if it has come into the matured stage, right, then it is called tattvajnanam. It's called tattvajnanam. So tattvajnanam, from tattvajnanam what do you get? Tattvajnanam gives you the knowledge that tattvajnanam is responsible for liberation. This awareness comes to you at that stage. Tattvajnanartha darshanam, Krishna says there. Adhyalpa jnana nityatvam tattvajnanartha darshanam. So, what is tattvajnanam? Tattvajnanam means this amanitvam adambitvam, those two verses, 7 and 8. After cultivation of them, when it becomes paribhaga nimittam, paribhaga means it has become into a mature stage. You have become properly, you are tuned in that way. What was spoken there? That is called tattvajnanam. Tasya, and tattvajnanam, once that tattvajnanam comes, then you realize that you are becoming free from material existence. Free from material existence, right? So, then you start the anushtanam for liberation after that. And Krishna is saying, that's all knowledge. All that is knowledge. So in other words, verses 7 and 8, what Krishna has spoken, if they have practiced properly and if they have grown in a person, if it has built up inside, amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, shandi, arjavam, all those qualifications, what he has spoken, right? And when it comes to a mature stage, paribhaga nimittam, paribhaga means mature stage, tattvajnanam it is called. That's when it's called tattvajnanam. And tasya artho moksham samsara uparamam. You feel yourself that you are free now from material existence. At that stage you feel that you are free from material existence. And then what happens? Tasya alochanam tattvajnanartha darshanam. Right. And at that moment, once you become free from this material existence, your effort for self-realization becomes very intense. That's what happens at that stage. These are all gradual things. You cannot do it overnight. Continuously studying Bhagavad Gita, remembering all these things and implementing in one's own life all the time is essential. This is a process that takes time. And Krishna has spoken in a very concise form in this chapter about jnana sadhana and bhakti sadhana. So here he is saying that earlier he mentioned these two verses, amanitvam adambitvam, and the next verse, indriyartesho vairagyam. He is saying here, edad amanitvadi tattva jnanartha darshanandam uktam jnanam iti proktam jnanarthatvad. Because this amanitvam, adambitvam and all is leads to tattva jnanam, therefore it is jnanam. Krishna says, ajnanam yadada asmat yathoktad anyadha viparyayana manitvam dambitvam ഹിംസാ അക്ഷാന്തി അനാർജവം ഇത്യാദി അജ്ഞാനം വിജ്ഞേയം പരിഹരനായ സംസാര പ്രവൃത്തി കാരണത്വാ ഇതി. എവ്രിതിങ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് ഓപ്പോസിറ്റ് ടു വാട്ട് വാസ് സ്പോക്കൺ ഇൻ വേഴ്സ് 7 and 8 ഈസ് അജ്ഞാനം. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് അജ്ഞാനം, റൈറ്റ്? വിച്ച് മീൻസ് ദംഭം, മാനം, ഹിംസ, അക്ഷാന്തി, അനാർജവം. ആൻഡ് ദെൻ ഹി സേസ് യഥോക്തേന ജ്ഞായേന ജ്ഞാതവ്യം കിം ഇതി ആകാംക്ഷായ ആഹ ജ്ഞേയം യത് തത് ഇത്യാദി. വാട്ട് ഈസ് ടു ബി നോൺ ഫ്രം ഓൾ ദീസ് തിങ്സ് വിത്ത് ദിസ് ജ്ഞാനം, ദാറ്റ്സ് കോൾഡ് ജ്ഞേയം, ഇൻ ഓർഡർ ടു ഫ്രീ അവർ സെൽസ് ഫ്രം ദാറ്റ്, ടു മേക്ക് അസ് അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ്. നനു യമാനിയമാച അമാനിത്വാദേ നതൈ ജ്ഞേയം ജ്ഞായതേ നഹി അമാനിത്വാദി കസ്യചിൽ വസ്തു പരിച്ഛേദകം ദൃഷ്ടം സർവത്ര ഏവച യത് വിഷയം ജ്ഞാനം തദ് ഏവ തസ്യ ജ്ഞേയസ്യ പരിച്ഛേദകം ദൃശ്യതേ നഹി അന്യ വിഷയേണ ജ്ഞാനേന അന്യതുപലഭ്യതേ യഥാഘട വിഷയേണ ജ്ഞാനേന അഗ്നി. ദിസ് അമാനിത്വം ആൻഡ് ഓൾ ദാറ്റ് ദേ ആർ ലൈക്ക് യമനിയമം, ബട്ട് അമാനിത്വം അലോൺ ഈസ് നോട്ട് ഗുഡ് ഇനഫ്, റൈറ്റ്? അമാനിത്വം ബിക്കോസ് ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് പ്രിപ്പയറിംഗ് ദ ഗ്രൗണ്ട്, പ്രിപ്പയറിംഗ് ദ ഗ്രൗണ്ട് ഫോർ ദാറ്റ്. But the vastu, what we have to realize at the end of our spiritual identity, right? And that realization will happen only later. This amanitvam, adambitvam, all those things what was spoken, was preparing the ground, preparing our mind, or preparing, in other words, our inside, ready for receiving the message. Ready for receiving the message, right? So even though you are talking about the soul at that time, it has not come into experience level yet. In that stage, amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, shanti, arjavam, all that you are being practiced, self-realization has not happened. Only thing what you have done is, you have prepared the field inside. The ground is ready for the actions, right? So at that time, you are only talking about the soul. It has not come to your realization level yet. So just like fire, we get to know about the fire by seeing it, what we read about the fire, the effect of fire, heat, light, all those things. That doesn't mean that I understood the fire, I have experienced the fire. To experience the fire, I have to put the hand or leg in the fire and I feel what fire is like, right? So it is like that situation. I have heard about Atma, soul, Antaryami, everything, but I have not experienced yet. So this Amanitvam, Adambitvam and all those things, 7 and 8 verses spoken, is preparing the ground for that, ready for exposure to the soul, exposure to the soul. Na esha doshaha jnana nimittatvat jnanam uchyate itihi avochama jnana sahakarinatvat cha. It is required to be like that. It helps, even though you may not have experienced the soul yet, you have only heard about the soul, but internally you are ready for the realization, yeah? And that is helpful because it is preparing you in such a way that when the message comes to you, you will be able to accept it without hesitation, right? So that is what that verse is all about. Yeah. So, Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam. For example, you must have read this, but you may not have probably thought about it enough, right? Just like Adhyalpa Jnana Nityatvam, what Krishna is talking here, right? A level comes in life, Mahatma's life, you can see that because they have gone through these things. All great personalities who have self-realized, they have also passed through all these stages. So they are able to tell you exactly how things happen. So, the nishta or steadiness, initially you have to start somewhere. You have to hold on to the understanding, and continue with it for a long time, right? And that is why sadhana, anushtanam, everything is important. You can't, without that you can't do it, right? Whatever it may be, sadhana process, whatever one is following, should hold on to that very strongly and practice it for a long period of time. Finally, what will happen is, Jnaneshwar says this, Adhyalpa Jnana Nityatvam, what it means, right? Come to a stage that without self-realization, I'm not going to leave this. I need to get to the goal. That firm determination inside, and till I find it, I will keep doing this. That determined state, right? Just like Buddha decided how he walked out and he went under the tree of that Bodhi Vriksham and sat underneath the tree. Siddhartha says there that even if my body goes away, wither away like this, it doesn't matter, he said. So determined he was, right? And he said even the skin, the flesh, the bones, and all things in this body, let it go to its own source where it came from. It doesn't matter, right? Even if you take Kalpa, means a day of Lord Brahma, even if it takes that long, it doesn't matter. That kind of determination inside, right? And he decided that I'm not going to get up from here till I realize that. So that what is called as sthairyam. Sthairyam is that word for that, right? So their sthairyam in sadhana and in the tapasya also, nishta, all that is a symptom of this adhyalpa jnana nityatvam. Adhyalpa jnana nityatvam, right? When that becomes more matured, right? When adhyalpa jnana nityatvam becomes mature, it becomes tattva jnanartha darshanam, the next line. You see there? Adhyalpa jnana nityatvam tattva jnanartha darshanam. In other words, initially it is adhyalpa jnana nityatvam. That leads to tattva jnanartha darshanam. Tattva jnanartha darshanam, right? So, what that means is, in the stage of tattva jnanartha darshanam, you are ready. At that time, if one of the Mahavakyams, like Aham Brahmasmi, Prajnanam Brahma, Tattvamasi, I am Atma Brahma, if it comes from a Sadguru, if that Upadesha, Mahavakya Upadesham, it will work straight away. Straight away, it will have its effect. Realization will come. Just like you saw how Parikshit received that from Shobhramashi in the Bhagavadam. So, it is at that time when that Mahavakya Upadesham is given. It is then that you realize who you are. You are not the body. Your actual identity is spiritual, right? And that is what is called Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam. Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam, right? So, this Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam comes after many sadhana anushtanam for a long period of time, right? And when jnana sadhana, if you do in its matured stage, it can happen. Tattva jnanam will come. Tat means Brahmam, Tvam means Jiva. Tat means Brahmam, Tvam means Jiva, right? So, what do you realize at that time? You realize that what you are inquiring about, this Paramatma, and your spiritual identity as Jiva is one and the same. It's not different, right? And it is that Paramatma Chaitanyam is present inside me as Jiva Chaitanyam and as Kshetrajna, present inside me, right? And in other words, within all of us, me, that identity, that what we are experiencing all the time, that is nothing but Sachidananda Brahman himself. And hearing this from the Mahalpas, He heard about it from Mahatma, from Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam and all, but you want to experience that, right? And your effort for that experiencing that, is Tattvajnanartha Darshanam. Tattvajnanartha Darshanam. So, you will see that. That is how it is mentioned about this, right? So, here, how that happens in a Jnani's case is mentioned in Viveka Chudamani. It says, Prakriti Vikriti Bhinnam Shuddha Bodha Swabhavam Sada Satitam Ashesham Bhasayan Nirvishesham Vilasadim Paramatma Jagradadi Savastha Swaham Ahamidi Sarshal Swaham Ahamidi Sarshal Ashirupena Buddhe. Separately from Prakriti and its causes, separately from them, that is the nature of the soul. It has nothing to do with Prakriti. And its nature is pure consciousness, bodha swabhav, bodha swarupam, prajna, these are the words, right? And similarly, in all the three states in us, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, he is a witness, bodham. And experiencing that is Paramartha Darshanam. Paramartha Darshanam. Aham Aham Iti. He says here, Prakriti Vikriti Bhinnam Shuddha Bhota Swabhavam Sahasam Sadasam Iti Ashesham Bhasayan Nirvishesham Vilasati Paramatma Jagradadi Savastha Aham Aham Iti Sakshal Asma Siddhi Rupena Buddhe. So, you can, these are all things related to self-realizations. And basically, it's trying to convey the point that Jivatma is not different from Paramatma. Jivatma comes when Paramatma enters into the subtle body. That's when Ahangaram gets life and then Jivatma is born. So when Ahangaram is inside, Jiva will be there. If Ahangaram completely goes away from a person, what is left then? Only Paramatma. And that is our real identity. That's the point spoken here. Right? And that Paramatma is the one which is in the form of Jivatma. Like, you know the famous examples in the Bhagavatam spoken. Sun in the sky, reflection in so many pots of water. All the reflections are Jivatma. If you throw away the water, there is no Jivatma. The water is colored water, any color for example, that coloring will be affecting the Jivatma, but that color water does not affect the Paramatma. So the relationship between Jivatma and Paramatma is like this. Sun in the space, sun's reflection in the water. Hundreds of pots you can keep with different colors of water, and in all of them, the same sun will reflect. And all that reflections are Jivatma. Just like we are all reflections of the Paramatma inside. And that Jivatma has got differences. In Jivatma level, we are all different. Because the upadhis, like mind, senses, buddhi, ahangaram, all those things, upadhi will affect the jiva. So that is why we are all different. Because of the influence or the effect of the upadhi. Upadhi vedam, it's called. Upadhi vedam makes us all different, one to another. Purely on the Paramatma stage, we are all one. There is no difference. We are all the same vastu. But when it comes to Jivatma stage, we are all different. So, to make us understand that, and that Paramatma Chaitanyam, which is reflecting in the vacant state as Jivatma, which is present, which is being witnessed, experienced in the dream state, and when it goes into Sushupti, all the three states are being witnessed by this Paramatma Chaitanya. It's the same, right? And so what happens? In the Jagrat state, this Paramatma is a witness to everything. He is looking at us, what the Jiva is doing, basically, right? But that's what he does. In our vacant state, we are doing, Jiva is very busy then, in the vacant state, is it not? Jiva has got a lot of responsibility in this world, you see. So Jiva gets involved in everything and anything and everything. Jiva thinks he has to change the world. Jiva thinks this world is not going in the right direction. All kinds of problems. So Jiva goes and pokes his head in everything. And Paramatma witnesses that. When he goes to the dream state, the world has gone. Outside world has gone. So what happens at that time? He remains as a witness to everything because the vasanas have come from the chittam and they take control. So Jivatma is busy with the vasanas. He's doing all sorts of things and he remains as a witness. And then when you go into Sushupti stage, what does he do? Jivatma goes away. He goes and gets rested. But when he wakes up, this Paramatma inside gives you the report that you had a good time. That's what Paramatma does, right? So, in this way, in these three states, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, he does that. And so these three states, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, one is supposed to study it very well and scrutinize it thoroughly till you get that clarity inside. That is a jnana sadhana. I mentioned this before. This Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti, studying it, itself is a jnana sadhana. Many people do that. They do only jnana sadhana. And they only scrutinize these three states all the time. They're always conscious of that. What is vacant state? What is dream state? What is deep sleep? What's happening in each of these states? From all angles they look at it. And keep on analyzing this. That way you realize that Antaryami is a witness to everything. That's one process. Creation, maintenance and destruction. People study that as a sadhana. In Bhagavatam that is also spoken. How to study creation, maintenance and destruction? What happens at these three states? So that's another sadhana. These are all jnana sadhana, right? So through these three states, you get to know that what Antaryami is. Again and again, vijaram, and becoming fixed in that. And that is tattva jnanartha darshanam. Adhyalpa jnana nityatvam, tattva jnanartha darshanam. So, then after saying that, Krishna is saying that, Arjuna, all these things what I have spoken so far is knowledge. This is all knowledge means. Everything else is ignorance. A very, like a judge gives in the court a decision, such a clear decision here. Edal jnanam idi proktam, ajnanam tadananyatha. Everything else what you have concocted from your mind through your research and all other kind of things what we are doing in this world, Krishna is saying, it's all ajnanam. Ajnanam tadananyatha. So, that is what he is saying. So, so after saying this, he is saying, you should, edal jnanam idi proktam. These things you will find in a jnani, what he has said here, right? Or the sadhana necessary for jnanam. So, instead of that, pride, manam, and dambham, himsa, similarly, vakrabuddhi, I mean, crooked mind, and insulting, offending acharyas, ashuchi, all these things, and no control of the senses, then asakti, attachment, and ahangaram, and always busy with materialistic people, and enjoying association with others, yeah, and no taste for spiritual knowledge or self-realization, and no awareness, no clarity inside about tattva-jnanam. All those things, if you combine them together, Krishna is saying, it is ajnanam, ajnanam. Everything that is against what Krishna has spoken there, right? So, wherever you find these things which are against what Krishna has spoken, there it is ajnanam. And wherever you find these qualifications, what Krishna has spoken there, that is jnanam, he says. Edal jnanam iti proktam, ajnanam tadananyatha, right? So, therefore, he says this jnana sadhana one should practice and establish in the jnanam, and that is what Krishna has said, what this jnanam is all. That is why he spoke this jnana sadhana. That means he is concluding that topic there. And after this, Krishna is saying, with all this sadhana, what does one want to achieve in life at the end, right? And I will tell you about that, Krishna says, in the next verse. If you look at the next verse, that's what he is saying there. Nyeyam tattat pravakshyami yajnatvam amritam ashnute anadi malparam brahmam nasat sannasaduchyate. Nyeyam yattat pravakshyami yajnatva amritam ashnute anadi malparam brahmam nasat sannasaduchyate. We'll discuss that verse after a few minutes. Chedo darpanam arjanam bhaumaha davagni nirvapanam shreyakaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandambudivardhanam pradipada purnamrita aswadhanam sarvatmam suvanam varam vijayade Shri Krishna Sankirt namnama kari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpida nimida smaranena kala edadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamabhi tundayvami drishamiha janinanuragaha Trinaravishuni chena, taroravi sahishuna, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sadahari. Nathanam najanam nasundayim, kavidamba jagadisha kamae, mama janmani janmani shwari, bhavadal bhaktirahai togitvai. Ainandatanu jagingaram, padidama mushame bhavambudo, kribayadavada pangajastida doli sadrasham vichindaya. Nayanam galada shodharaya, vadanam gadgadarudhaya gira. Pulagair nijidam gadavavu tavan namagrahane bhavishyadi. Yugaidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam shunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda virahename. Ashlishyava padaradam pinashtumam adarshanam armahadam karyotuva yatha tatha vavidatha dulampado malpranunatha sunayevana para sarvatra govinda nama sankirtanam govinda govinda. Nyeyam yattat pravakshyami yajnatvam amritam ashnute anadi malparam brahmam nasal sannasam uchyate. Nyeyam yadavyam yattat pravakshyami prakarshena yathavad vakshyami. Nyeyam means what is to be known. He said, Krishna saying that, I will explain that, what is to be known. Kim bhalam tad idi pratojanena shrodu abhimukhi karanaya aha. In order that the listener feels an attraction for that, he has explained it that way. Why? Yet nyeyam yatva amrdam amrdatvam ashnude na punam riyade ityartaha. Once you have known that, once you have known that, then it is amrdatvam. Amrdatvam means immortality. Immortality, right? That's what amrdatvam means, immortality. അനാദിമല് ആദി അസ്യ അസ്ഥി ഇതി ആദിമത് ന ആദിമത് അനാദിമത് കിം തൻപരം നിരതിശയം ബ്രഹ്മജ്ഞേയം ഇതി പ്രകൃതം. സോ അനാദിമത് പരം ബ്രഹ്മ നസത് തന്നാസ ദുച്ഛ്യതേ. സംതിങ് വിച്ച് ഹാസ് ഗോട്ട് എ ബിഗിനിങ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് കോൾഡ് ആദിമത്. സംതിങ് വിച്ച് ഹാസ് നോ ബിഗിനിങ് ഈസ് കോൾഡ് അനാദിമത്. ബ്രഹ്മം ഈസ് അനാദിമത്. അത്ര കേജ് അനാദിമൽപരം ഇതി പദം ചിന്തന്തി ബഹുവ്രീഹിണാമുക്തേ അർത്ഥ മതുപ അനർത്ഥക്യം അനിഷ്ടം സ്യാദ് ഇതി. സോ ഹിയർ വാട്ട് ഈസ് ടു ബി നോൺ മീൻസ് if you know that what is the benefit, amrutam asnude, immortality comes, right? What does immortality means? An existence where there is no death. Now we are all living in the sphere of death, is it not? We know, once you accept Bhagavad Gita, that I'm going to die, that fear will be there in a certain level inside. Everybody has that, no matter, oh, I don't care and all that people will say. But the fear of death will always in everybody. And we live in constantly in that fear of death. Constantly. And even if we die, what is the next stage then? Another body. And in the same fear of death will continue in that body as well. Is it not? That fear of death is not leaving us. This fear of death, what I have now in this body, will follow me into the next body, and there in that body also I'll have the same fear of death. Because if I look at the world, I see everyone is feeling it. Animals, birds and aquatics, all of them live in the fear of death. No doubt about that. So the fear of death is something Krishna is saying here. Amrutatva means that fear of death goes away from inside. That's what he's saying here. Right, so when Jnaneshwari was written, it is Jnaneshwari's commentary, famous commentary on Bhagavad Gita, right? Very much Advaitic. He says, Amrutanubhavam. He wrote a book after that called Amrutanubhavam. Amrutanubhavam means this feeling of existence without fear of death. So, which means, what that means is, in order to be free from the fear of death, you have to be situated on the platform of the soul. Because soul means eternal, which has no death. When you are identifying with the body, you will always have the fear of death. So, till we reach that state where you are identifying as the soul in the state of existence, in the spiritual state, this fear of death will continue with us, right? So, Amrutanubhavam, the book he wrote, right? It is another word for Atmanubhavam, experience of the soul. So, in order to do that, to come to that stage, you have to realize the Brahman as the Atma. Brahman to be realized as Atma. And once it is known, it says, Yal jnatuam amrutam asnude, you become immortal. Amrutam asnude, right? So, anadimalparam brahma, anadimalparam brahma, nasat sannasa duchyate. So, yeah. Everything is brahmam. And what is brahmam? You see how Krishna defines brahmam? Anadimalparam brahma, nasat, natannasa duchyate. It is neither sat, nor it is asat. And it exists, it doesn't exist, right? Once you say asat, immediately the memory comes, the sat will come. So, or if you say sat, it means asat will come. So this satta, asat and all that, as far as Brahman is concerned, is not meaningful. Meaningful in the sense that beyond sat and asat, Brahman exists. beyond Sat and Asat, right? Sat and Asat is both Brahma. That's how understanding Brahma is difficult, comprehending Brahma, difficult, right? So, that means, without giving importance to your intellectual process, without giving importance to intelligence, right? Krishna is saying, come to the platform of experience. Generally, everything we are looking through intelligence, is it not? Mind and intelligence. And that is how you are knowing things in this world. Every time education is all based on that. University, college and all that. All education is based on mind and intelligence. Krishna is saying, don't stay in that state of intelligence. Instead, he is saying, intellectual aspects, intellectual way of knowing things, give it up. Don't try to know things through intellectually anything. Not giving importance to that, come to the platform of experiencing level. There are two levels, is it not? Intellectual way of knowing things and experience way of knowing things. They are two different things. When you are experiencing something, then intellectual understanding is not required because you will accept it straight away. That's the benefit. Suppose I have experienced something directly, then I don't need an intellectual explanation to that because I've experienced it. Krishna is saying, come to the platform of experience level rather than staying in the intellectual level. Right? So, similarly, Krishna is saying, this Satyam Brahmam, experience it inside, right? So, just like the bee, honey bee, goes to the flower and drinks the honey from the flower. In the same way, and experience the happiness from that. In the same way, Krishna is saying, Antaryami is present inside. Experience him. And when you experience him, that is how that you have to realize this truth in that way. So, Anadi Malparam Brahmam Nasat Sannasa Duchyade. Just like we have different nadi in the body, the different veins, right? And through that, our emotions all gets transmitted to different parts of the body. Like the blood is circulating through the nervous system, all our emotions also become spread all over the body. So, Krishna says, you got to learn through that process how to experience it inside. In other words, as he mentioned in the fourth chapter, Jnana Agni. Krishna is saying there is a fire inside. What fire is it? Fire of knowledge. Jnana Agni. It's called Jnana Agni. Jnana Agni means there is a fire inside us which is knowledge. It is called fire in the sense that you are offering everything into that fire. All your emotions, thoughts, everything. And in that way, you will realize the presence of that Jnana Agni Sarva Karmanam Basmasad Kurite Arjuna. He spoke that in the fourth chapter. Yeah. So, that you remember in the Bhagavatam, when Vidura meant sent to see Maitreya Maharshi, Karna Nadi he is talking about. So, this is a science related to the emotions, thoughts, and how it is being transmitted in the body. We have no idea about it. Yogis know about it. Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga will tell you about these things more. If you want to know it more about it, but that's not solving the problem. The thing is that how anubhuti comes. This is, Krishna mentioned about that. Experience level, come to experience level, he is saying that, is it not? So, how does experience level happens? experience level happens, the right terminology for that is anubhuti. Anubhuti is the word. It is not intellectual thing, it is anubhuti inside. Yeah. So, as he mentioned there, that the anubhuti level, when it comes to, that's where all this nervous system, emotions and everything comes in, into that. And when this Amrita Nadi is the one which is connected from the ear to the heart, there is a connection there. At the moment, it is blocked, completely blocked, right? If that Nadi opens up, then when you hear, it will go straight into the heart. Now it's not going, you are hearing it, but it's not going in. That's why there is no effect on us, because it's completely blocked, right? They say, the yogis say, there is 101 nadis in the body, right? And out of the 100 of them, 100 nadis inside our body, our vishaya vasana, our vasana for sense gratification is going around inside this body. Enjoying propensity in us. Because the vishaya vasana is so strong. Vishaya vasana means, you know, sense gratification, desire for sense enjoyment. That is what is operating through 100 of them, out of the 101, right? That one nadi, which is what they call it as Amrita Nadi, goes from the heart, right, which is blocked at the moment, goes to the ear, right? Once that nadi opens up, then this adhyalpa jnana, how will it open up? Through adhyalpa jnana nityatvam. Adhyalpa jnana nityatvam is supposed to open up that connection, that nadi, right? And that means those sadhana, what Krishna has spoken, amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, all that things, right? If gradually, by doing that, if it gradually opens up, right, the jiva inside start feeling that samadhi stage, samadhi experience, he will start experiencing that atmanubhavam, right? Or in other words, self-realization becomes a reality for him. Once that Amrita Nadi opens up. In Bhagavadam, you remember that, how he spoke in the third canto, Vidura Maitreya Samvadam, if you look at it. Yeah? You will see there where he mentioned this. Ya Karna Nadim Purushasya Yado Bhavapradam Geharadim Chinati. 11th verse in the 5th chapter, 3, 5, 11. Katrupniya Tirthavado Abhidhanal Satresha Vasurabhiri Dhyamanal Ya Karna Nadim Purushasya Yado Bhava Pradam Geharadim Chinati. He's saying there that once you hear about Krishna and it will enter into you through your indriyam, shrotraindriyam, through the ear, and what it does is that once it has gone in properly, attraction for material life will leave you. Samsaram will go, and the attachment for geharadyam chinati, attraction for materialistic life will leave us. Geharadyam chinati, it says, katrupniya tirthapado bhidhanal satreshu vasurabhiri dhyamanal yak suribhiri dhyamanal yak karna nadim purushasayado bhava pradam geharadyam chinati. Vidura is talking to Maitreya. And Maitreya Maharshi is going to answer that. So this is how you will see later on in the, when Krishna said to Arjuna that tadviddhi pranivadena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanide jnanam yaninas tattvadarshina. If you want to understand that verse, you look at Vidura and Maitreya. How one should go to the spiritual master, a guru, and how guru deals with the disciple. This whole, the best example in the Bhagavatam is this Vidura-Maitreya relationship. Because generally we study that verse, which one is a famous verse, isn't it? Tadvidhi pranipadena. Pariprasena seva. Seva, pariprasnam, pranipadam. Three things Krishna is saying one should have, first of all. That verse is specifically addressing to Jnanamargam, more than the Bhakti Margam. So that's why many things in the Bhagavad Gita is centered around knowledge, more than the Bhakti side of it. But then commentators, according to their liking, people who are very absorbed in Bhakti, they will see everything through Bhakti. But strictly speaking, Bhagavad Gita is a book of knowledge. Nobody can deny that. It's a knowledge of the soul. Upanishad's message it is, you cannot do it in any other way. If you do it any other way, it will lose its power, the way it should have come out properly. So that is why in the beginning Krishna said, Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam. He mentioned about Jnanam, he mentioned about Karma. And Krishna also said that Karma is inferior knowledge, Jnanam is superior. And how to become free from Karma, Krishna has spoken in many chapters. So all those knowledge is there. So in Bhagavatam, when Vidura went to Maitreya Maharshi, what Maitreya spoke to Vidura was about Jnanam. Most of it is Jnanam, what he has spoken about it. His questions and his answers to that. So, Katrapnuya Tirthapado Bhidhanal Satreshu Suri Bhiridhyam Anal Ya Karna Nadim Purushasayato Bhava Pradam Geharadim Chinati. Once that nadi opens up from the ear to the heart, once it opens up, right, then what will happen is that the jiva will start feeling the necessary for self-realization very strongly if it opens up. It doesn't open up straight away. It's not like a valve in the normal piping. It slowly opens up because these are all subtle things, how it happens. Right? Very gradually, it starts trickling down to the heart, the message. Yeah? So, and only when it starts opening up, right? Only when it starts opening up, you will start accepting what spiritual life is. Till then, it's all just an external thing for us. Because somebody told us that this Krishna is saying like this, so I should do this. Because he's told me to do it, I'm doing it. It will be like that in that state. What he's saying here is that if that nadi, karna nadi opens up, which will happen gradually, he says spiritual life will make some sense to you. Till then it's not any sense to us. We are thinking, that is why we say, we hear Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, then I am busy about my money earning business. I become very serious about how to make my living in this world. Why does that happen? Even though the truth is spoken very clearly, that I have nothing to do with this body, is not me, mind is not me, intelligence is not me, senses is not me. Everything has been told and I've heard that, but afterwards I go back into the same business what I'm doing before. Nothing has changed. Why the change has not happened? Because of this. That we have not become spiritual yet. Only when this Karna Nadi opens up, you will start realizing that there is another world, spiritual existence. And that existence he is talking about here, right? So, otherwise it is just words, that's all. Everything is just words, right? So, ignore that, and start experiencing to some extent, then only you can say that some purity has come inside. Some purity has come inside, right? You know, there's a type of bird who won't drink water from anywhere. Only when it rains, it will sit and open its mouth. He will only accept rainwater. Because for him, southwest water, affinity water and all is not pure enough. He won't accept any of those water, right? So, no matter how much water is there, he won't accept. The Shataka birds, they are called, right? So, and He'll go and sit in the lakes and tanks everywhere, but he won't drink the water from there. And only when the water comes from the sky, he will drink like that, right? Similarly, people who have developed strong desire for liberation, right, and who have got purified themselves through bhakti in their heart, right, for them the path of self-realization, get it opened up for them once this nadi starts opening up, right. And then Krishna is saying here, anadi malparam brahmam nasa tannasa duchyate. That is when he says, all what Krishna is talking about, nectar, the words, they will start realizing the power of these words I have spoken. Whatever Krishna has spoken, the power of those words will make some sense to a person only when that happens. Krishna is saying to us, Krishna is saying, I am saying all these things to you, but it's not having any impact on you. The reason for that is, this Karna Nadi is blocked up. It's not, Shrotraindriyam and Hrit, they are connected with the Karna Nadi. So, Shrotraindriyam is receiving it, but it is not going to the Hrit, and there is not having any impact at all. Yeah. So, Krishna is saying, Yajna Tvam, you see there, Nyayam, every verse in the Bhagavad Gita is very hard. If you look deeply into it, you can see the depth of the words, the spiritual depth of it. Nyayam yattat pravakshyami yal jnatvam amrtam asnute anadi malparam brahma nasal tannasa duchyate. In four lines he has put it, this whole message, strongly. Anadi malparam brahma nasal tannasa duchyate. And the commentary on that, the Bhashyam, runs into many, many, many pages on this, which is in a very higher level written, which is difficult to discuss it because it's so high knowledge of the Upanishads spoken from all kinds of background, just if explaining it, right? What Brahma means. And well, is saying here that Satta, Asatta, he says, with that you cannot know the Brahman. And similarly, you also have to know the meaning of the science of sound, Shabda Brahman. Brahman also referred like that, Shabda Brahman, Parabrahman, right? Shabda Brahman is Vedam. Parabrahman is rest. And you remember when Chitragedu went to see Lord Balram at the Sangarshanamurti, told him, Shabda Brahma Param Brahma Mamobhe Shashwati Tanu. He says, I have these two forms, Shabda Brahma and Param Brahma. So, and it is based on the Shabda Brahma, all the mantrams are created. Mantram all comes from Shabda Brahma. All the mantram comes from Shabda Brahma. And it is based on mantram, all the tantram is developed. There is a whole science behind it. We don't fully understand all that. We are ordinary people. But people who study tantram, they know the value of the mantram. Certain mantram, its potency, how long it takes for the mantram to have its effect. So, Shabda Brahmam, Shabdam is the most subtle of all, is it not? Out of the five Shabdas, Parsha, Rupam, Rasam, Gandham, the five Tanmatras. Out of these five Tanmatras, Shabdam is the most subtle of all. Because Shabdam comes straight from Mahatattvam. Mahatattvam, Ahantattvam, and then comes this. Shabdam comes from that. From Shabdam comes the space, from space comes the air, like that. You know, the five material elements come one after the other. Five Tanmatras and five elements. So, before five Tanmatras came, out of the five Tanmatras, Shabda Tanmatra is the first one to come. Which means, Shabda Tanmatra is the most subtle of all the Tanmatras. You know what Tanmatra means? Shabda Sparsham Rupam Rasam Gandham. Sound, touch, smell, taste and form. They are the Tanmatras. Out of these five Tanmatras, sound is the most subtle of all. When it comes to Gandham, which is the earth, which has become most gross form then, by then. So that Shabda Tanmatra is Shabda Brahmam. And Shabda Brahmam It is from there all mantras have come. All these famous mantras in the Upanishad mantram, and similarly, they all belong to the Shabda Brahma. Upanishad mantram, and similarly, what you know, Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Hare Krishna Maha, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna. All these mantras, their origin is Shabda Brahma. So Shabda Brahma, Krishna is saying here that science itself is, it has got its like, remember we mentioned this before, it's easy to understand, it's not difficult. Shabdam decides which caste you belong to. Of a person, Shabdam will decide what caste he belongs to. Whether he's a Brahmana or a Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra, can be known through sound. Say, for example, a man comes in, and how you receive him through your welcome words, how you welcome him, that will decide whether what is your vasana inside, whether you're a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra. I mentioned this before, didn't I? If you welcome him in such a way, that depends on the way the sound comes from you, how the sound comes from you. If the sound comes in such a way that he feels protection in your words, he feels that you are helping him in your advancement in spiritual life, if the words are like that, that comes out from you, you are a Brahmana. Because it's coming from knowledge. Sattvagunam is influencing the sound. Sattvagunam is influencing the sound. If you are welcoming him in a very powerful way, in an authority way, or in a way of instructing, come in, or instructing him in such a way that as an order to him, it is kshatram. That sound is same word, the way it is expressed outside, it becomes a kshatram. If you are addressing him with a motive behind it, that I'm going to get something out of him as a business nature, with a business mind, if you are welcoming him, it is Vaishyam. And if you are welcoming him, what can I do for you? How can I serve you? In a mood like that, it is Shudram. It is Shudram. So, even though it is very subtle, same sound, when it comes out from you, it becomes Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra according to your vasana inside, according to your subhavam inside. Yeah. So, Acharya Swami is saying here, you got to understand all those things to understand these words. This particular words, the science of Shabda, science of sound, right? So he's saying, and he's given these quotations from the Upanishads. Na anirubam eva uktam khatam sarvasuhi upanishalsu jnayam brahma neti neti Brahadaranya Upanishads. And similarly, na adindriyatvene ubhaya buddhi anugata prataya vishayatvad. He says, buddhi is also a sense. And buddhi cannot do anything about it. So, this will become very complicated if I read out all these things. It will completely blow your mind because it's so much written about this, right? So, anyway, in simple terms, what Krishna is saying is that Nyayam yattat pravakshyami, come from the platform of mind and intelligence to the platform of experience. If you come to that, he says that you will understand Brahman. So yajñātvam amṛtam asnyate is saying that knowing what this amṛtatvam happens, immortality happens, about that Brahman, I will talk about it, he says to Arjuna. And he says to him, hear from me about it. That's what. So from this point, Krishna is going to discuss in another level. Whole thing changes from there. So he spoke about jnana sadhana. He spoke about the restrictions, what one has to follow while developing that sadhana, while doing that sadhana. Then he spoke about bhakti and ashrayatvam. Then now he has spoken about immortality. What does that mean? So, adhyatma jnana nityatvam tattva jnanartha darshanam edal jnanam iti proktam ajnanam tadanam yatha, he is saying. Right? So, adhyatma jnanam, for example, mind, all the time, yeah, if you observe your own mind, you can see, all the time, what does the mind do? Mind leaves the swarupam. Right? If you talk about Brahmam, Atma, Antaryami and all, mind gets confused. Mind is blinking. What is this all being talked about? If you talk about Namarupam, mind gets attracted. Have you noticed that? You talk about a person and you say to another person that he is like this, he is useless, and or he is very good. You will naturally mind is, because mind can measure that. Brahmam, mind cannot do anything with Brahmam. So, when our mind is nothing but chittavritti, thought waves, right? When the chittavritti runs after namarupam, it is called mind. It's called mind, right? If it is not running after namarupam, it's not called mind. It's not mind anymore, right? So, when it is running after namarupam, and if that mind, when it is running after namarupam, names and forms, it is called asat. Namarupam is all asat, right? From asat, if it goes towards sat, sat means bodham, consciousness, right? And in order to bring that from asat to sat, that is why adhyatma yogam, what he mentioned before. In other words, when completely we get this establishment in the swarupam, it is called swarupa nishta. Swarupa nishta means permanently established in the self, right? And practicing that is adhyatma jnana nityatvam, what Krishna has spoken before. So in other words, internally, if one is able to perform atma vicharam, absorb in the realization of the self, right? That is important. Internally, the absorption in the self-realization. Externally, surrender. Externally, surrender, right? So, one devotee asked this question, that I need self-realization, right? And answer was that, you stay where you are. In other words, that, how do I conduct the vyavaharam then, he says. As far as vyavaharam is concerned, only one thing, sharanagati. Vyavaharam is not under our control, that you have to also get to terms with it. Yeah? Because of our conditioning, we think that in vyavaharam we have to become successful. Is it not? That is ingrained in us very strongly. If you don't become successful in vyavaharam, that means you are no good, you are useless. You see? No, from spiritual side, whether you become successful in vyavaharam or not, spiritually you are a failure. From spiritual side, right? So, vyavaharam is concerned, what is the rule? Rule is like that sharanagati. Sharanagati, surrender to Krishna, whatever Krishna has decided, based on prarabdham, what it comes, willing to accept that. If you are not ready for all this, then spiritual life is not for you. That's what Bhagavad Gita is saying to us. If you are not ready for any of these things, what Krishna is saying, then you are not ready for spiritual life then. So, therefore, that famous rule, yadrachaya. Yadrachaya means by Krishna's icha. Yadrachaya means there's two meanings. One, it has happened by providence, we say. Yeah. What does providence mean? Whatever, according to my prarabdham, what I am entitled, it's coming in life. I'm accepting that. Idrachaya malkadasu jadashardosya puman na nirvino nadisatto bhakti yogosta siddhida. Krishna uses this word yadrachaya in the Bhagavatam. Shukha Brahma Shri has used in many places. Yadrachaya. Yadrachaya means by whose icha, by whose desire it has happened. By Krishna's desire it has happened, right? In other words, whichever way Krishna is keeping you in this world, go along with it, whatever that is, right? And whichever way he keeps his life going, accept that in that way. So, like they say, I am the machine, Krishna is the operator. Krishna is the operator, right? And like Paramahamsa used to say, like the Bhadragali, Kali, Devi, how she is the operator, I am just the machine, right? So, this is Sharanagati, to be in that state, right? Adhyalpa jnana nityatvam tattva jnanartha darshanam. So, in order this adhyalpa jnanam to become firm inside, for that purpose is vivitta desha sevittvam. If you remember that word, adhyalpa jnanam, the words what Krishna has used there, vivitta desha sevittvam, arad maijan anya yogena bhakti ravyabhijarini, vivikta desha sevitvam aradir jana samsadi. This vivikta desha sevitvam is for getting fixed in this adhyalpa jnana nityatvam. It is for that purpose, right? So, outwardly, we are doing our vyavaharam in this world all the time, different kinds of vyavaharam, right? And continuously, we are mixing with the materialistic people who have no interest in spiritual life, right? If you do like that all the time, what will happen is your mind will get distracted all over. That we know that. If we always, if I'm doing some vyavaharam in life, some vyavaharam is always going. In some people, if you observe that, you'll see they're always busy with doing something or the other in the world. And when they have time, they are association with various people who are also of the similar nature. And if you get that kind of lifestyle, what will happen is the mind becomes useless. It cannot go inwards anymore. It has come to that stage, right? So, therefore, Krishna is saying, you have to learn to be vivikta desha sevittam, able to live alone and able to practice this, right? And antarmukhatvam, able to divert the mind inwards, right? And able to practice of the self-realization, inquiry. So Krishna is saying that what is to think that who am I or what's my spiritual identity, right? And in this way, this mind which is going outward, which is called bahirmukhatvam, directing towards inwards is called pratyak pravaham. These are the words in the shastram for that. Pratyak pravaham means the nature of the mind to flow outwardly, changing that flow of direction to inward is called pratyak pravaham. Right? And what happens is pratyak pravaham leads to what is called pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna. In other words, I realize that my existence is different than this body, mind, senses, ego and everything. So, our existence, astitvam, its experience everybody has, our existence, right? And similarly, because we know our existence, everybody knows. We all know we exist, is it not? Our existence, nobody can question that. And that existence, right? And similarly, namarupam, names and forms. Namarupam is, you know why I'm saying this is, what Krishna said in that verse, he said to us, from the intellectual level, come to the experience level, he said. Is it not? He said in that verse, nyayam yattat pravakshyami yal jnatvam amritam ashnude anadi malparam brahma nasal tannasu duchyade. Basically he's saying that free yourself from this intellectual approach and come to the platform of experiencing approach, right? So he is making it more clear here that the experience level is, example of that is I exist. That's experience level. That is not perception. That is not intellectual thing, isn't it? My existence, I cannot explain it intellectually, but I don't need any proof of my existence. I know, because I know I exist. Whether you are there or not, your existence I can question, because I cannot... I am relating with you through perception, not through experience. Whereas me, I am experiencing myself. So, Krishna is saying, perception and experiencing is like that. Intellectually, you can see things. Namarupam is all perception. All Namarupam is perception. Only your experiencing or experience level, it is astitva, existence, right? So that means seeing something and experience something, they are two different things, is it not? Seeing something is perception. Experience something is inside you, right? So that where you are experiencing anything in this world is in one place, that center, right? So that is what is called in the Bhagavatam, Kevala Anubhavam. You must have heard that word in many places. When Krishna appeared, Vasudeva used that terminology, Prahlada used that terminology, Navayogis used that terminology, Krishna has used that terminology. That's why it's so important, these words. Kevala Anubhavam Ananda Swarupam, he says there. Kevala Anubhava Ananda Swarupam. Vasudeva used that when Krishna appeared. Because that is Krishna. That Anubhavam is Krishna. It is not Namarupam that's Krishna. It is the Anubhavam that is Krishna. That is why it was spoken like that. So, Kevala Anubhavananda Swarupam Nirubhadiyam. It all says, because there is no Ubhadi on that. Nirubhadiyam it is. Prahlada used that, Vasudeva used that, Shukabrahmashi has used that, Krishna has used that. The same terminology for that. To make us understand what Anubhavam means. Anubhavam and Pratiti are two different things. Pratiti is perception, what you are getting through senses. Whatever you get through senses is all Pratiti. What you experience inside is Anubhavam. And Krishna is asking us, come from Pratiti to Anubhavam. Come from Buddhi. Buddhi, mind and all is all Pratiti. Through Buddhi and mind, it's everything is Pratiti. Whatever you are experiencing, it's all Pratiti. When Buddhi fails, mind fails, Pratiti also goes. Whereas Anubhavam, once you got it, it's permanent. You don't lose it. This is the difference between Pratiti and Anubhavam. Pratiti comes through mind and intelligence. And therefore, when mind and intelligence becomes, cannot work anymore. Suppose when you get older, that's what happens, isn't it? Mind loses, intelligence also is not working. If you come to a very advanced stage, sometimes it happens that way. What does that mean? It means all that what you have acquired the knowledge through pratiti, through mind and intelligence, it is not valid anymore. It is not staying with you. Whereas anubhavam, which is what you have experienced inside, in hrit, didn't come through the senses or the mind, directly experienced inside, that is your permanent experience. It doesn't leave you anymore. It cannot leave you. Self-realization, Krishna is saying, belongs to that category, not to the pratiti category. This all has to be very clear inside when we are talking about spiritual life. Pratiti, whatever you have got it, it's all useless because it will stay with you for some time. As long as buddhi and mind is working, you can use it. That's all. After that, when buddhi mind goes away, they also go along with that. Whereas, the other one, which is called anubhavam, which is experienced by the antaryami inside, means antaryami has accepted it. That means it has become yours then. It cannot leave you anymore. It is forever, permanently. So, that is why these words are so important. Kevalam, anubhavam, ananda, swarupam. That's you. That's every one of us is Kevalanu Bhavananda Swarupam Nirubhadikam, right? So, you can see Kevalanu Bhavam, basically what it means is that right now, our experience is all senses only, through senses only, isn't it? That's all we know now. Whatever we got through senses, we take it, right? And if I turn inwards, I realize that there is a thing called mind inside. But if you completely ignore mind, intelligence, senses, everything, there is something more that is called bodham, awareness inside, bodham, right? That bodhanishta, what is that bodham says to us? I exist, my existence, right? And my existence, when I say, so for example, I've got a name, right? And I identify with the body. So therefore, there's a personality around that bodham, right? So for this to understand, you look at the three states. Then you will get more clarity on that. In the Jagrat state, in the vacant state, body is there, right? The world is there, and I am there. All three are there. Body is there, the world is there, I am there. Once I go to dream state, what happens? The world goes in the dream. The world goes, right? And body is also not there. Body is not there when you go into dream state, sleep. When you start dreaming, the body is not there in you. Body is gone. And the mind is working through the vasana. Not through the world, through the vasana it is working. So, from Jagrat to Swapnam, when you go to Swapnam, that body has gone, and the world has gone, mind is working, I am still there. I am still there. Then when you go into Sushupti, what happens? Body has gone, the mind has gone. Mind has gone means that personality, whom I am very conscious of in the awakened state, disappears in the deep sleep state, Sushupti. In Sushupti, where is the personality? It's not that amazing that I am so conscious of my personality in the vacant state, but in the deep sleep state, I am able to give up that personality, Vyaktitvam, right? And similarly, the Ahangaram, ego, all these things goes away. Now, which personality has gone? The imaginary personality, which I thought I am, which I am not actually. The real me is the Antaryami inside. But the identification with the body has created an imaginary personality in me, and that imaginary personality is the one which disappears in the Sushupti, in the deep sleep state, right? So in Sushupti, personality goes, body goes, mind goes, I am still there. If I am not there, when I wake up in the morning, I won't be able to say that I was enjoying that sleep. Because I have already disappeared. The imaginary personality has disappeared. Imaginary personality goes away in the Sushupti. But then who brings back that information in the vacant state? That is the real me, right? So, and he remains as a witness to everything. You may wonder this, because when you read Bhagavadam, again and again it is always saying this, this Antaryami, he is a witness to everything, witness to everything, witness to everything. He keeps repeating this. And you start thinking, why is it said like that? Every time, to make us clear, that's what you are actually, not the other false one. To make us conscious of that. That's why they keep repeating this. Whereas this imaginary personality, Bhagavatam has not taken very seriously, because that's Ahangaram it is. And that when that die, nobody cares about it. And this Ahangaram is based on the body. Imaginary personality is based on the body. Like today I'm say I'm a human being. Tomorrow suppose I'm in a dog's body. What will I say? I'm a dog. I will have all that features in me. A dog's nature will be in me. And that is all in that imaginary personality. But the Antaryami in the dog, Antaryami in me, if I get a dog's body also, Antaryami has not changed. It's only that imaginary bodily identity has changed. So in order to make us clear to us that so that existence is there, and sushupti also, kevalam is astitvam, not only that, he says that it's called nyapti, another word for that. Who used that word? Muchukunda used that word. You see, look at the Muchukunda study, you'll find these words there. Kevalam nyapti matram, he says to Krishna. I am that, he said. Kevalam nyapti matram. Nyapti, that's the word he has used, right? And nyapti means avabhodam, bodham. And it, another nature of that is upalabdham. Upalabdham means we already got it. In other words, this is a very important thing in the sense, people think, you know, in every other religion, they say God is somewhere else and we have to meet him one day in the heaven or wherever we are going to meet him, right? Vedam says, you've already got it. You don't have to go anywhere. It's already there in you. Upalabdhi. That's what that word means. Upalabdhi. Upalabdhi means labdham. Labdham means you've already got it. It is not going to come from outside something. That I'll meet God one day, some place, whatever you identify with, heaven or hell or whatever, heavenly planets or another world, I'm going to meet him later, God. No. Upalabdham. Bhagavad Gita says, Bhagavatam says. Upanishad says, Upalabdham. You already got it. You don't have to go somewhere else to meet him. To think that he is somewhere else itself is ignorance. He is inside you, present inside you very much. And he was present inside, and when you were with him, the happiness what you felt is what is called sushupti. Sushupti is that happiness what you felt when you were with him. You see? That is the proof for that. And that vastu, what was there in sushupti, is present in the dream state as well as in the jagrat state, and he is inside you, right? And even though when you are doing vyavaharam in the world outside, and even though ahankaram comes in, right, and even if your mind is working and the body is doing something, it is still there inside you, is still there, right? So the activities of the body or the thoughts in the mind or the sleep of the causal body, all these things does not touch my real identity. My real identity and my astitvam. In other words, that awareness, nyapti, bodham, is not touched by either by the activities of the body or the thoughts in the mind or the sleep state, karana shariram, causal body, it's sushupti state. None of these three things has anything to do, has any effect on the my real self. Right? So without being touched by all the three states, but without his presence, these three states won't happen. Right? And not only that, he said, you already got him inside. Yeah. You don't have to wait that I will meet God somewhere later on. That is not the way Vedantam says. Vedantam says that you don't have to go anywhere. You realize his presence inside. That's all what is required. In other words, why did they say that? That you have already got it. In other words, if it is something outside, you have to work to get it. But something you already got it, there is no need to work for it. It's not through work that you get it, right? And through work you won't be able to get it. You see, normally karmam has gone into us so strongly. In this world, all what we know, how to earn, get something through karmam. That's the only method we know in this world. And we think the same thing in spiritual life also. We think that I will get Krishna through my hard work. And Upanishad is saying, don't go in that route. You won't get him through hard work. Because you've already got it, first of all. So hard work is not going to help in these things, right? You have to get him through Shraddha. Shraddha, that means recognizing his presence inside. That recognition is what is required. And for that, Shraddha is what is necessary, not work. Karmam is not required, Shraddha is required. Shraddha is the one what makes that happen. And Shraddha comes from tapas. Tapasa and Shraddha. Right? And you will see Krishna uses this word Shraddha very carefully in the Bhagavad Gita. In the fourth chapter, if you look, verse 39. Shraddhavan labhate jnanam, Krishna says. Not karmavan will labhate jnanam. No. Shraddhavan labhate jnanam. Karmavan, Krishna says, I have nothing to say to him till he comes out of karmam. There is no point in talking about it. If you look at that fourth chapter, Krishna is saying there, yeah, the Shraddhavan labhate jnanam talpara samyadendriya jnanam labdhva param shantim achirenadhi gachyati. So when he concludes that chapter, he is saying this very important thing. Karmam is not the solution to the problem. It is Shraddha what is required. He will get jnanam, he says. Spiritual realization is for Shraddhavan. Shraddhavan labhate jnanam. Not one who is doing a lot of karmavan labhate jnanam, he didn't say. And in the next verse, if you look, Krishna says, ajnyasya ashraddhadanasya samshayalpa vinashyati. If he has no Shraddha in spiritual life or Shastram, then that person is not going to make it. He will be destroyed gradually. He won't make it a success in spiritual life. Ajnyasya ashraddhadanasya samshayalma vinashari. He is finished. He cannot have Shraddha because there is no Shraddha in him. His Shraddha is on all other things. And that won't help. Ajnyasya ashraddhadanasya samshayalma vinashari. Nayam logosti na paro na sukham samshayalpana. For such a person, he will neither be happy in this world nor in the world after. So, that Shraddha, what Krishna has spoken there, is what he's talking about now. He's going to bring that in, right? So, Shraddha means what? Shraddha means able to recognize the presence of Antaryami inside. When your attention falls on the Antaryami, it's called Shraddha. So, in order to happen, Shraddha has to work. How will Shraddha work in a person? When everything what you are not, like this gross body, mind, intelligence, senses, all these things, if you are able to discard them from your awareness, if you are able to reject them from your awareness, right, then naturally the real vastu, Antaryami inside, will express itself. Its presence will be felt. We are not able to feel the presence of Antaryami now because of these things. Mind, intelligence, senses, gross body and the world outside. If you are able to completely remove them from inside, they are all inside us. If you are able to remove them completely from inside, Krishna is saying that the Shraddha will turn towards the Antaryami, right? So, and that Shraddha, when it falls on the Antaryami like that, is Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam. Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam. So, if the Shraddha goes in this direction, that direction, every time it gets distracted, like our mind goes all over the place, right? And naturally what will happen is, we will identify with the body straight away. Sharira Buddhi. Identification will come. And identification will fall on the mind. At that time, Prarabdham will take over. And Prarabdham is waiting there to go into burn us. Because that's what Prarabdham does. It's burning our karma. when we are in the platform of body, mind and the senses. Prarabdham is working at that. Prarabdham is controlling us at that time. But when the Shraddha has fallen on the Antaryami inside, and that recognition has come inside, Prarabdham is not effective there. That's different. That's not Prarabdham anymore. So that is where this is a big topic. What next verses, what Krishna is going to talk about it, is very subtle signs of self-realization and what is favorable for self-realization. And at the same time, Krishna is also saying that you have to provide some cover, protection from the world outside. And that protection is also subtle. Like in the Bhagavatam, we talk about Narayana Kavacham. What is Narayana Kavacham? Yadahi Bhagavan Eva Vastuda Sadasachayat. You remember that verse, famous verse. Narayana Kavacham, substance is that one verse. If you understand that verse, you understand Narayana Kavacham is a very imaginary armor, what you are using for protection yourself from the influence of the Maya. Influence of Maya. How you deal with the Maya outside. Yeah. So, and in Narayana Kavacham is called in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the same thing is called in the Yoga Vasishtam as Brahma Kavacham. The same thing. In Yoga Vasishtam it's called Brahma Kavacham, right? So all those things we will discuss next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.